welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Here's your host, Neil Solons.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Hope you had a great holiday season, and welcome to our first podcast of 2017. We start off with the general manager slash senior vice president of the Rays. That's Eric Neander. Eric, I hope it was a relatively quiet holiday season for you. What are the holidays like in baseball operations? Do things really shut down? Can you shut down mentally, or are you still very engaged?
Yeah, hope everyone out there had a good holiday season. For us, and I think for an industry, you know, a lot of offices tend to be closed over this week, just across the league. So, it is something that's in some ways a bit of a forced break or a bit of a forced slowdown, just because everyone's not in one place. People are spread out and scattered across the country with family and enjoying the holidays. But you don't shut your mind off on things, and especially when it comes to shaping your roster. Maybe there's a little bit less initiative that's taken over the holidays. Most of the knowledge of what teams are willing and not willing to do is on the board by that point. And you spend time thinking about it, less time creating at that point, you know, over that time. But it is something where, you know, as long as you have you know, things that you would like to do to shape your roster that you haven't yet accomplished, you're going to be spending time on it, but it's usually more remote. It's usually more with family. It's usually a little bit more on the side, and everyone really uses this time as a chance to catch our breaths across, I think probably across the industry, to recharge, refresh, and get ready for the flip to the new year.
And as we move here in the new year, it seems to me, and maybe you can tell me otherwise, our January is now a busier month in baseball than they used to be. And what I mean by that, you seem to have more players who are signing in January or February, for that matter. Look, Edwin Encarnacion finally became official this week, but there's still a lot of fair-numbered free agents out there, either as hitters or as pitchers, who are still available for teams to get. Is that because of the new labor agreement? Why do you think that is? And is January now busier than it used to be?
Yeah, I can't speak to... You know, I think it's a fair observation. I can't speak to why, you know, off seasons have evolved the way that they've evolved. You know, I can only speak to our history, and yeah, I think over time have done you know, a decent amount of our off season work past the new year. Why that's the case, I'm not necessarily sure. It just seems to have been the time when free agency, you know, there have been more things that have made sense for us at that point. You know, where our opportunity and what we have to offer lines up. And, you know, on the trade front, I think a lot of times it, you know, teams are often, you know, us included, you're sorting through a lot of possibilities and scenarios and different things. And it often takes a couple of months to digest and process and know what's truly real and what your options are and how, if you, you know, go in this direction, what you can do from there and so on. Takes a surprising amount of work and consideration to get to that point. And I think because of that, you know, it does take a little bit deeper into the offseason for some of that to materialize.
If you look at some of the areas that this organization needed to improve upon going into the offseason, I think most would have said catching. And now you've signed Wilson Ramos and on a minor league deal, probably fairly significant for the early portion of the schedule, Mike McHenry. How good do you feel right now about the catching compared to where you were, let's say, at the end of last year? And are you now... You're always looking to upgrade, but do you consider yourself pretty set from a catching situation for 2017?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've taken some steps to create greater competition within that group, and we're pleased that we've been able to do that. I don't think that you're ever satisfied, especially at that position. It's one foul tip away from changing. It's you know, just the nature of the position. So I think we'll continue to keep an open mind if possibilities arise. But that being said, I think the group that we have, obviously Wilson and his rehab is continuing to progress well and as expected. But the other guys that we have, and, you know, Luke and Kurt and bringing in, you know, Michael as well, you know, we're excited to give those guys an opportunity to compete and see what happens. If there's another guy that we can introduce into that mix, you know, we'll keep an open mind, but do feel good about the guys that we have.
Other needs that haven't been addressed, at least to that extent, would be the bullpen. Is that the biggest area of need at this point for 2017 in terms of what you're looking to accomplish?
I think similar to probably where we've been at various points, you know, over the last month of this offseason, what we've stated. I think, you know, in the outfield to be a little more dynamic, to create a little more competition would not be a bad thing by any means. You know, we do value the guys and appreciate the guys that we have, but you know, coming off of the year we just had, there's a strong desire to, I think, at minimum, increase the level of competition. And everyone gets better when there's competition, and you know, that's something we'll spend a lot of time on. I think you know, offensively, there's opportunity to add through some of the more offensive-oriented positions on the roster, and then of course the bullpen is something where, again, I think increased competition, trying to predict in any given year, you know, which guys are going to come out and be the successful relievers and those that won't. It's a really difficult thing to, you know, to forecast, I guess, for lack of a better term, year to year. But, you know, to establish, I think, strength in numbers is something that we are on the lookout and hoping to do. And, you know, potentially blending it with some guys that are coming back or that we have under our control already.
And you mentioned the offensive side. Is it important to become even in terms of handedness? I mean, look, you're facing more righties than lefties anyway, but do you need another right-handed bat to create more balance with some of the guys you've lost more recently?
Yeah, I think it's something that's absolutely a consideration, you know, to be more dynamic, to better leverage the strengths, you know, of the players that we have, you know, the things they do well, you know, some of the areas where we might be a little bit more short. You know, those are all things that we consider. I think, you know, pitcher handedness is one of that tends to be more obvious in considerations, but there's, you know, the defensive factors and health components and different things, you know, so on and so forth that also come into play. But yeah, that is one in particular that, you know, certainly I think we are on the lookout and something that we are considering as we kind of march towards spring training here.
On the pitching side, you mentioned, you know, you're going to look outside, you're going to look inside. You have a lot of starters, be they on your major league roster, guys who've just been elevated to the 40-man, or guys who are coming in as non-roster invites who could be converted to relievers. How do you tell any of those guys that they'll be looked at in the bullpen at the start of spring training, in the offseason? Do you just kind of let it – do you shorten them up at some point? How do you determine who may be able to help you out of the bullpen that's been more of a starter than a reliever?
I think part of it, you know, we'll see where we're at, you know, once we get to spring training and what our numbers look like. Generally speaking, it's, you know, it's a lot to prepare someone to start and to prepare someone to throw 200 innings, you know, and to get into that territory is something that mentally, physically, the preparation for that is significant. And I think it's something that, you know, as much as possible, you want to leave that door open on as many players as possible as you can, and you want to put them in position to be capable of doing that in a given year. So that's typically our mentality. I don't think this year is any different, and if things play out in a way where there's a need to shorten someone up and to take it to the bullpen as opposed to being a starter, you know, that's a transition that I think can be done a little bit faster than doing it the other way around.
Lastly, you guys have already announced 18 invites to spring training on the minor league side, so you're up to 58. We have a longer spring training this year than normal because of the WBC. Was this partially because of that? Was it to get guys more ready for spring training earlier? What was kind of the mindset? Because normally you guys haven't announced that many this early.
Yeah, I think probably a few factors that go into that. You know, the earlier camp, you know, being a big one. You know, we've been in a position where I think we've had more coming up through our system, you know, our own players that are filling out our camp as opposed to free agent signs and, you know, minor league free agent signs, et cetera. So I think that probably plays a part. I think more than anything, there was clarity on a group that we thought, you know, we were going to bring in. And when you have that clarity and you know you have guys that you want to bring in and to be a part of it, you know, there's very little harm, and especially when it, you know, in a lot of these cases, it is their first spring training with, you know, major league spring training, to give them the necessary time to prepare for that experience. So, you know, it's something that once we knew that these are guys we wanted to bring in, that we saw no harm in waiting any longer to get it moving.
I'm sure more announcements on that end, and also in terms of putting your roster together for the middle part of February. Eric, we appreciate a few minutes on our latest podcast.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it.
And we now turn to another friend of ours, Andy Freed. Andy, Happy New Year. Hope the holidays have been good to you.
Same to you. The countdown is on for spring training, I guess, too.
Yeah. What's this like? I mean, give our fans an idea about this time of year, what it's like for you in terms of the itch to get back and the anticipation for at least the start of spring training.
Yeah, I always wonder if people feel the way I do. And if I know you, you probably get the sense for it, too. Once New Year's hits, I do start to get that itch. You start to, especially here in Florida, because it starts to feel like spring training outside. I was visiting my parents up in the Villages when we were outside, and you see everybody outside on the golf course, and it just has that feel that it does in February and March when you start to hear the slap of the leather and the crack of the bat and everything ready to go. So I'm not quite there yet because the honey-do list isn't done for the off-season, and I don't think my kids are ready for me to go, but I imagine you're the same way. You start getting that itch that needs to be scratched, and then it goes into October.
No doubt. My honey-do list certainly has a few items on it left as well. You know, the Rays do, too. They've got some on their list, but I'll tell you this. The fact that Edwin Encarnacion became official this week is not going to be in this division, I think is a good thing for the Rays pitching staff, that's for sure, and a lot of others in this league.
So now what happens with Jose Bautista? Well, we have to face him, too. You know, I remember what the Blue Jays were like before they got Donaldson, and it was Bautista and Encarnacion. Then they got Donaldson, and it was this three-headed monster you have to run through right from the first inning on. So now we know it's Donaldson and Bautista. Maybe. It might just be Donaldson in that lineup. Mm-hmm. And if it's just Donaldson, no dissing on the other guys because they're good, but that lineup becomes much more pitchable. Donaldson's going to find out a lot more what it's like to not have those guys hidden behind him.
No doubt. And to me, it could be a game changer for them. I think what has changed for me, too, is January is different now. I mean, look how many free agents are still out there. You mentioned Bautista, Mark Trumbo, Mike Napoli, Chris Carter, Pedro Alvarez, and that's not to mention all the relief pitchers and guys like Jason Hamill who still don't even have a job.
Isn't that something? This does seem to me, too, an interesting mix of ingredients because for whatever reason, it's become a molasses-laden free agent market. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've just kind of hit the slogging through now, and spring training is early this year.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to hit a point where a lot of these guys don't have jobs until teams are already in camp? And if so, you're going to have these interesting moments where guys suddenly join the team, kind of like what Dexter Fowler did last year when suddenly he joined the Cubs when they were already in spring training, and you have this big welcoming party. So I'm very curious to see how it's all going to play. There's a lot of guys out there that need to be signed, and spring training is very early. You look at what is our first broadcast, Neil? It's like February 24th, I think.
Yeah, it's
so
really
early. It's real early.
Very early. WBC has changed a lot for this year, and as it will every 4 years. And look, it's a good thing. I mean, I'm happy for Alex Colomé. I'm happy for Chris Archer. You know, great opportunity for them. And the Rays also announced, as we just talked with Eric, they've already announced 18 guys have been invited on top of the 40-man roster and basically given them more time to know that they're going to be here so they have time to prepare. I would think we're going to get a lot of long looks at guys that, you know, we probably wouldn't in other years.
Which is good, and there are a few more off days in spring training this year, too. And look, I love anything for baseball to spread its wings around the world. I mean it's a two-way street. It's good for the players because ultimately it'll give more guys more opportunity to get jobs. It's good for baseball. You kind of spread the gospel of baseball around the world. More people become fans of it. More people understand. You know, a lot of people around the world don't understand baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's so foreign to them. And you have players eventually down. Kids now become players down the line, and suddenly they're in Major League Baseball in the next generation. So all of that is good. Now, just for this, though, you know, it is quite a disruption to spring training, I think. But, you know, that to me is a small price to pay for something that could be very, very good for this industry. You look at all the sports, they're all spreading out globally. So ultimately it's a good thing. But, you know, for us living in this generation, it does create a bit of a distraction for spring training. But, you know, you look in the baseball history, too, and there are plenty of things that were disruptions to spring training, whether it be barnstorming tours or whatever. I think the players are ready to get going. And, you know, in years past, in generations past, guys would have been just getting into shape. A lot of these guys come to camp already pretty much ready to go.
No doubt about that. And, you know, as we move forward, I think there is a lot on the honey-do list for the Rays. I still think primarily is the bullpen. I mean, the catching situation has been figured out. Certainly another outfielder, especially someone who can hit right-handed, would be great. And to me, those are probably the two big priorities. You feel the same?
To me, it's all. I mean, yes, I do. I do think what you're saying about the right-handed bat, and that will be a wonderful thing. And I think somebody eventually will fall through the cracks and end up being on the Rays. But man, that bullpen needs a lot of work. That to me is the one where if we're going to be good this year, let's call it what it is. Going into spring training, the Rays will be predicted to be the last place team. That's the prediction we're going to have to deal with, and the expectation will be low for this team nationally. Now, I think those of us on the inside know that there's a high ceiling for this team. Now, a lot of things have to fall in place, but none of that is going to fall in place unless that bullpen gets figured out. So, to me, spring training is almost all about this bullpen. We know what the infield's going to be. We know what most of the outfield's going to be. We know what most of the catching situation is going to be ultimately, and the starting rotation. That bullpen has got to get figured out. And I want us to get guys, too, that not only are players that we see on the opening day roster, but guys that we may see all throughout the year. And we always go back to 08 when guys like Grant Balfour weren't even on the big league roster. And they eventually, you know, J.P. Howell's a guy that was, you know, an experiment going into that year, and they were vital members of the team. So I'd like to see a couple of veteran guys sign, but I want to see some of these young guys who may begin the year with the Durham Bulls or maybe even Montgomery. I want to see them have good showings so there's good thoughts about them heading into the season when we may see them during the summertime.
Certainly feel the same. Andy, we you mentioned, there's a lot still to do before spring training. Enjoy the time with the family, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You too. We'll talk.
Thanks, Andy. That, of course, is Andy Fried. We thank him. We thank Eric Neander for being with us on our podcast, and we thank you for listening. We'll have plenty of other podcasts during the course of January, and we'll talk to you soon.